This is Brian Cheffins. I'm continuing with the LLM lectures on corporate governance. I'm focusing on the first major theme that we consider in the course, overview of key corporate governance matters. This will be the final lecture dealing with this theme. What we're focusing on in this lecture is external constraints on managerial conduct. In the previous lecture, I talked about an important reason why it is that the widely held company stacks up reasonably well in a horse race with other forms of business enterprise, despite managerial agency costs. This is that other forms of business enterprise can suffer from their own governance problems. There is more to the story, however. Various factors, in fact, do much to keep managerial agency costs in check in the widely held firm. Corporate scandals certainly do occur. Nevertheless, public companies are only rarely crippled by managerial dishonesty, incompetence, or laziness. Throughout much of the remainder of the course, we will consider how non-executive directors, executive pay, and shareholder intervention, supported by relevant company law rules and quasi-legislation such as the UK Corporate Governance Code, can constrain those acting in an executive capacity and thereby reduce agency costs. These can be characterized as internal corporate governance mechanisms because the primary drivers will be directors and shareholders associated with the companies that executives are running. Consistent with the approach this course takes, debates about corporate governance revolve primarily around internal corporate accountability mechanisms. For instance, the FRC and the FCA, in a joint 2019 report on the building of stewardship by public company investors, said of companies characterized by a separation of ownership and control, as in other situations where one party, the principal, engages another to act on their behalf, the agent, the principal puts in place a set of arrangements for agents to act in the principal's best interests. This is typically done through active dialogue, contractual provisions, disclosure requirements, and setting financial incentives. While corporate governance debates revolve primarily around internal accountability mechanisms, these are by no means the only constraints on managerial discretion in publicly traded companies. External mechanisms also do much to constrain executives and mitigate the agency cost problem. I've argued in a recent article that more should be done to understand the impact of external constraints on managerial discretion, and that article is available on Moodle. For the purposes of this course, however, I will merely identify briefly key market-driven examples of external accountability mechanisms. The labor market for executives is one external constraint on managerial discretion. Public company executives tend to be highly ambitious individuals. They correspondingly may be contemplating finding work with another company offering a more lucrative and prestigious job. To impress prospective employers, executives will want to perform well in their current positions. This will require them to do an effective job for the companies presently employing them. Taking steps that make shareholders happy will probably be the best way to provide evidence of superior managerial capabilities. Markets for products and services also have a disciplinary effect on public company executives. If a company is not run well enough to produce a competitive product at an attractive price, it will alienate customers and lose market share. If the situation deteriorates far enough, the company will become insolvent and will be forced into liquidation. This is a predicament those in charge of a public company will be keen to avoid. Severe financial distress will cause them to lose their jobs and will damage their reputations as effective managers. Capital markets constitute another external constraint of which executives must be aware. When companies upgrade existing operations, launch new products, and carry out acquisitions, they may well need to raise funds in order to execute their plans. Methods available for raising finance include issuing new shares to investors, borrowing money from banks, and issuing publicly traded corporate debt represented by debentures in the United Kingdom and bonds in the United States. When a company seeks to raise finance in these ways, its affairs will usually be studied carefully in a manner that will determine whether its efforts will fail or succeed. Prospective lenders and investors can do their homework directly. Financial intermediaries such as investment banks that advise companies on the raising of capital will also do due diligence because future clients will want to hire a firm with a reputation for competence and propriety. The prospect of potentially uncomfortable scrutiny will in turn motivate executives to run their company effectively and profitably. A final external constraint on managerial discretion is the market for corporate control, which involves the acquisition and disposal of controlling interests in companies. If the executives who are running a company are incompetent, complacent, overly cautious, or dishonest, over time there will develop a substantial disparity between the company's actual and potential performance. The most obvious manifestation of this will be a stagnant or declining share price. If the situation deteriorates far enough, a takeover bid may well be forthcoming. This will occur when a potential bidder calculates that the profits it can generate from installing a new management team will exceed the costs associated with making an offer to purchase the shares. Not surprisingly, incumbent executives dislike takeover bids. This anxiety has in turn a beneficial byproduct. Since managers know their jobs are potentially on the line due to the threat of a takeover bid, they have an incentive to fend off bids by running their companies in a manner designed to keep the share price sufficiently high to deter potential bidders from approaching. The various constraints on managerial behavior that I've just been talking about each suffer from limitations. With the market for managerial talent, this is only going to be a significant consideration if there is substantial job mobility. This does exist at lower levels in the corporate managerial hierarchy. Movement, however, at the very top has traditionally been the exception rather than the rule, as it remains rare for a chief executive officer to move from that post, at another company. That said, it is by no means impossible for a senior executive to use a good track record as a platform for securing a better job. The robustness of the market for managerial talent will be considered in more detail in relation to executive pay. As for the market for a company's products and services, its significance from a governance perspective depends on the conditions of supply and demand that apply to that firm. A firm that has substantial market power may be able to absorb the costs associated with managerial slackness or dishonesty for a considerable period of time. Moreover, with the market for corporate control, takeover bids are expensive to organize, which means they may only lead to a reversal of poor management in extreme situations. Also, takeover activity tends to be cyclical in nature, which means the extent to which the market for corporate control acts as a constraint on managerial conduct likely varies over time. It is clear, in sum, that while corporate managers face significant market-oriented constraints when they develop and implement company policy, executives do retain scope to pursue their own agenda at the expense of shareholders and others associated with a company. The fact public company executives have at least some discretion to run their companies incompetently or dishonestly has important corporate governance implications. In the UK, concerns that executives running the country's leading companies have too much scope to act in a misguided or self-serving manner has done much to bring the topic of corporate governance to prominence. As the 2016 Green Paper indicates, addressing the dangers involved have been the top priority in UK corporate governance. Quote, "The UK's strongest corporate governance and reporting standards are focused on public companies where the owners or shareholders are distant from the executives running the company. These standards provide independent shareholders with reassurance that the company is being run in their interests and that they have the information needed to hold the executive to account," unquote. Consistent with the dominant approach in the UK, the remainder of the course will focus on alleviating the managerial agency cost problem. With the analysis of mechanisms that alleviate managerial agency costs, we will begin by considering key company law concepts. This is because company law can act as a significant check on potentially wayward executives. As the 2019 FRC-FCA joint paper on building shareholder stewardship said, quote, "Features of legislation applicable to companies, including the Companies Act 2006, the FCA's listing rules, and disclosure and transparency rules, already aim to address issues that derive from the principal agent problem." And that concludes the set of lectures dealing with the first topic, the first major topic for corporate governance, and we will turn to the next topic, the board of directors, in the next set of lectures.